Often in our course of life, we come across stories, incidents, accidents, loss, and so many countless twists and turns in our life, which makes us realize that we can do a little more than what we are doing right now every day, maybe for a better world. And that is why I believe Martin Luther King Jr. once said, and I quote, an individual has not started living until he can rise above the narrow confines of his individualistic concerns to the broader concerns of all humanity. This is extremely important to understand that when we take a birth in this world, we have some duties and responsibilities which are beyond our own self and which we need to carry out. So hello and namaskar to everyone. I am Saurav from Project Nomad, and I would like to welcome everyone who is joining us right now live, and also to all those who will watch this video later on from our page and from various pages and groups from social media platforms. And we are doing this live session for a very particular reason, which is to discuss broadly about the campaign that we are working on right now, and we have named it as Gift a Break campaign. And today with me, I have the founders of Samaveshi Parshala Foundation, Nivedita and Ashok, with me today. We have already produced a few video contents regarding their work and also about the inclusive school, which serves mainly to the tribal children from a village called Kashile, which is in Karjat in Maharashtra, India. And one of the uniqueness of the school is that children with and without disability, they study together under the one roof in the school. And they have started right from the kindergarten, and I hope they will go up to the higher standards. So a very warm welcome to Nivedita and Ashok on this platform with me on Project Nomad. Hi, Nivedita and Ashok, if you can hear me. Yes. Hi.
Hi, Saurav.
Hi, Saurav. Yes, we can hear you.
Great. So let's have a small introduction so that we can get a little bit brief about what exactly is happening.
First of all, I would like to introduce myself. My name is Ashok.
My name is Nivedita.
And together we are co-founders of Samaveshi Parshala Foundation. We are based in this block on the outskirts of Mumbai called Karjat. It's a block. Predominantly a tribal block, which is about 100 kilometers from Mumbai. We do have a suburban train that connects Karjat and Mumbai directly. A lot of people who keep going back and forth to Mumbai city for their jobs and other livelihoods. So we are here, and being a tribal area, it has its own characteristics. There are villages which are very scattered. And despite its proximity to Mumbai, all basic amenities of living, such as education, healthcare, all of these are of not so good quality. It's been 2 years that we are working here on the ground. And prior to that, for our groundwork, for our baseline survey, I think we have been coming to Karjat since 2017. As of now, because of COVID, normal life has been affected quite a bit. As I said, it's a tribal area, so a lot of families are dependent on daily ways. And because the trains are not operating right now, the local trains, the suburban trains, a lot of people who relied on movement to city, to Mumbai or to Pune, they are restricted. They are at their homes right now, and there are very few options of daily wage work in the vicinity. So difficult times, but yeah, let's hope that this pandemic situation settles soon and people will be back to their daily normal lives.
Right, right. So let's talk about a little bit about the background of Samaveshi Parshala Foundation, what exactly the school is all about.
Yeah, so it's a small story that changed the course of our lives. Nivedita and I were working with two different international charities. Coincidentally, both worked on disability. And it so happened that in the aftermath of Nepal earthquake in 2015, I was sent on an assignment to a remote hilly village on the outskirts of Kathmandu. And on that day in the morning, I was first taken by a local social worker to a site where a three-story public school, a government school, had collapsed completely during the earthquake. And as I stood there, I could see there was a crane that was clearing the rubble. So this is 4 months after the Nepal earthquake. So the focus had gradually shifted from immediate relief to recovery and rehabilitation. So as I stood there, you know, I could see a broken school and a crane was installed there and that was clearing the rubble. And in that rubble, I could see pieces of school furniture, you know, and other school things in the rubble. And I was feeling a little bad. A little further, a social worker took me to a temporary school where some children from this school were studying. So one good thing that happened is as we have Sunday as a public holiday in India, Nepal follows a slightly different pattern. Saturday is a public holiday and Sunday, which is Ravivar, is the beginning of the week. So fortunately, it was a Saturday when the earthquake struck. So from what we learned, there were 3,000 students who were studying just in that one school. And had it been any other weekday, I think the scale of you know, the destruction of lives and property, I think, would have been enormous. So fortunately, it was a Saturday. So some children from this school, they were studying in this temporary school nearby that was made up of tarpaulin, bamboo and all that. And I could see there were hardly a few hundred children, 200-300 children only. And it was evident that majority of these children were still back home. Several of their houses were broken. This particular village that I went, Sangha Chok, I mean, more or less the entire village had collapsed, you know. And there were temporary houses that had been built across the village. And you could get a sense that, you know, people were now rebuilding their lives from whatever they had been left with. And a little later in the afternoon, we ventured into the community and I met this 10-year-old girl. And what happened to her was that on the day of earthquake, when she was running out of the house, her entire house came down on her and she broke her spinal cord. And for 3 days, she was just lying in pain in that village because, you know, there was no mode of transport. And 3 days later, the army helicopter transported this girl to a hospital in Kathmandu. And so this is 4 months after the earthquake when I visited this village. So after being admitted in a hospital for about 2 months, she was brought back to her village and she was recovering. So when I met her, she was wearing a belt around her waist and she was sitting on a wheelchair outside her home and she looked a little upset. And as someone who had gone to gather stories and, you know, interviews of people who our organization had supported in their medical treatment or in any other way, also with relief and all that, I wanted to talk to her. So I started talking and she looked, you know, visibly upset. And then I asked her, why are you not attending school? Why are you not going to school? And she said, my school collapsed during the earthquake. And apparently it was the same school that I had visited that morning. And then I told her, but there is a temporary school nearby where some children from this school are, you know, attending classes there. Why didn't you go there? And then she told me that school is not for me. And I asked her, what do you mean? And she said that school is not meant for disabled children like me. And this one sentence, her reply, it struck me so hard. You know, I mean, having worked until then for a few years with an international charity. Day in and out, we were writing reports that, you know, people are not sensitive towards disability, or they do not have the empathy to support children and people with disabilities. You know, this is how our society is, or there is an interlinkage between poverty and disability and such things, so on and so forth, you know. And I just don't know what happened to me. I began asking questions to myself. What am I doing? You know, am I here to just write reports and stories and all? What am I doing? You know, after such a big disaster, look at the situation on the ground. People are still not sensitive. They still do not understand that anybody can become disabled in a matter of seconds, just as this girl did. You know, her life was all okay until the earthquake struck. And here she's, you know, sitting on a wheelchair, and just if somebody could help her reach the school, she could as well sit with other children in the class and learn. Her cognitive skills were all perfectly okay. So why is it that we have built our schools like that? That we close our doors to children with disabilities? You know, these questions started coming to my mind, that what am I doing? You know, my life is good. You know, a good job, good education from a good university like Tata Institute, everything is all good for me. But is that all, you know, we should be doing? So that evening, I went back home and I narrated the story to Nivedita. And we were both on the same page. We began talking that what do we do? Do we continue doing this kind of a job wherein, you know, we are bound, so to say, by the restrictions of the job, you know, to be performing within that role and not do anything firsthand, not do anything far more meaningful that we are capable of? So, yeah, in the course of a few weeks and months, we decided that a few years later, we will quit our jobs. We will research a bit more on disability and inclusive education. We will definitely quit our jobs and set off on a movement of inclusive education. And the idea was clear that if we really want to build an inclusive society, a society where people respect each other, where they have compassion and empathy for each other, I think that journey has to start from an inclusive school and inclusive classroom. So that is our story. From 2015, it took us 3 years. And on this very day, on the 15th of September, we both quit our jobs and we moved to Karjat with our son, who on this day was just 1 year and 4 days old. But yes, we were determined. We were clear that this is what we want to do. We want to set up an inclusive school called Samaveshi Pathshala and begin our journey and our movement of inclusive education across the world.
Great, great. Such an inspiring story. And this is really very sad. I have heard this story over and over again. And every time I hear the story, somehow at some corner in my heart, I really feel very emotional. This is happening to children. Unfortunate. Let's move on towards the story which led us to this campaign, which we have named as Gift a Brick. So can you briefly, take us through this story, what made us start this campaign, Gift a Brick?
So it's interesting, actually. Officially, we are not even 2 years old on the ground. Like, 3rd of December 2018 on World Disability Day is when we started our inclusive kindergarten in Kasele village, which is an interesting village that connects to around 20-30 smaller tribal villages and hamlets in Karjat. And it so happened that after a whole lot of challenges, 6 months into our journey, we set up what is called an inclusive community library. So we thought our voice of inclusive education has to go beyond our single classroom. So we set up this library. So not just children from our school, but several other children from the community, they could come and access the learning materials that we have in our library. It's a unique library, inclusive because we have a whole lot of print, digital, and assistive learning materials. And what we did as a community intervention is every Saturday, we would call young volunteers and professionals from Mumbai, Pune, and we would do a whole lot of children's workshops on read aloud sessions, on storytelling, on creative arts. And the idea was to bring all children together, not just the 15 children until then that we had in our lower kindergarten, including 6 children with disabilities. The idea was that all children could come together and could become a space where they get to learn and see each other. You know, many children, I'm sure, you know, and we got this feedback later, the children said that in my school, I do not have a child with disability, or, you know, I do not have a child who's slightly differently abled. So it was good that we could do something like that 6 months into our journey. A bit later, when we completed 8 months, we started what we call inclusive Anganwadi transformation program. And there again, because we were working at kindergarten level, which is a preschool level, what we thought is our experiences and learnings of implementing inclusive education can be exchanged with this network of Anganwadi teachers. And why this is, because practically what happens in rural areas is children begin their educational journey from an Anganwadi. And let's say if there is a child with disability in a particular village, if this child doesn't go to the nearest Anganwadi or is not accepted in the nearest Anganwadi, then this child and the parents, they will not have the courage to send this child to a formal school later. You know, so just as the journey begins with an Anganwadi for other children, for this child as well, the journey has to begin with the nearest Anganwadi, where the child should get the opportunity to make friends, to learn a whole lot of foundational skills, preschool alphabets, numerals, all of that, what we, you know, expect our child to learn at nursery, LKG, UKG. Because in rural areas, after some years of Anganwadi, children directly go to grade one in a mainstream or regular school. So knowing this reality, we thought here is an opportunity to make an intervention right at the grassroots. So if Anganwadi teachers are trained to engage with children with disabilities, or if their mindsets is to an extent, you know, transformed and made inclusive, then I think we can bring real change. You know, so this Anganwadi teacher will ensure that a child with disability is first accepted in the Anganwadi. And when the child has to be enrolled in the nearest school, there again, the Anganwadi teacher can support. So, you know, just closing the loop. So yeah, we started a pilot with 10 Anganwadis in Karjat. Most of them were closer to our school location only. And what happened is in January, we completed this pilot. In February, we added another 12 Anganwadis. And then in March, when COVID struck, all our plans went haywire. So just as all other nonprofits or companies, everyone, I think, were not prepared or not expecting something of this scale to happen, so did we. So, you know, as a new venture that was on the ground for a little over 1 year only, we were scared of our future. We didn't know what would happen. And we began thinking, how is it that, you know, in times of crisis, we become of service to the local community? And on the 24th or 25th is when the nationwide lockdown started. And a couple of days later, our parents, like several of our students' parents, they started calling us and saying, sir, kya hoga aage? Kitna din band rahega? Kaise, hum log kaise ghar chalayenge? Hai na? So there we saw the opportunity from both of our experiences of working in Nepal earthquake is, in times of crisis, you as a good nonprofit, you have to stand with the community. And these are times where your relations can be deepened and you become more relevant. You know, it might require you to move a bit away from your mandate or your, you know, so to say, core objectives, But that's how it is. You know, if you are based in a certain locality, you have to stand up for each other in times of crisis. So we started planning towards the last days of March itself that let's, you know, do something for the community. And on the 3rd of April, we did our first relief distribution campaign. And yeah, over the course of that month, we did 3 such campaigns, relief distribution, and we directly reached out to around 100 tribal families, including the 30 children who are part of our school. And of the 100, there were 18 families that had a child or an adult member with a disability. And what happened is, looking at our stories on social media, several nonprofits in Mumbai or several civil society groups in this locality, they started contacting us as to, you know, you are working with tribal communities in Karjat. Do you see if there are more tribal villages that are in need of relief? And all we had to do is again make use of our Anganwadi network, because we were directly working with 22 Anganwadis. And in a way, we were in contact with this larger Anganwadi network of 300 Anganwadis in Karjat. So we just had to contact Anganwadi teachers and our network, and we found out where there is a real need, and we just had to direct relief to that community. So in total, I think we reached out to around 2,000 tribal families in Karjat over the course of 2 months, April and May. And then again, we were trying our best to facilitate what we call inclusive home-based learning, as in designing inclusive learning materials. And every morning we would send that on WhatsApp to our students. Several of them didn't have a smartphone, so we were trying our best to provide them that. But to be very honest, we didn't know where this was leading. We were scared as a new nonprofit. You know, our fundraising was severely affected since March. Programs, nothing on the ground after relief work that we did in April and May. So by early June, we were still thinking that, you know, how is it that we become more relevant? So we somehow started what we called online Anganwadi training. So with the same network of Anganwadis that we were working, we started doing, you know, video-based training with them. But there is more that we wanted to do, and we didn't know what would happen, you know. And just in the nick of time, some parents of our students, they got together. And one fine day in late June, they called us and said in exact words, ki sir, humne aapke liye kuch zameen dekha hai yahan kasele mein. Aur aap bilkul aap idhar hi raho, yahan se kahin mat jao, aap hamare saath kaam karo, hamare bachchon ke liye kaam karo. Aur jo aapne kaha tha ki aapko school banane ke liye thodi si zameen ki zarurat hai, to ye hamare taraf se aapke liye ek gift hai. आप ये जमीन लेके आप अपना स्कूल बनाओ आप और आप इधर ही रहो. सो व्हाट दे मेंट इज दैट वाज देयर वे ऑफ सेइंग थैंक यू फॉर आवर वर्क दैट वी हैव बीन डूइंग ओवर द लास्ट 1.5 इयर्स, बट मेजरली द रिलीफ वर्क दैट वी डिड इन द मंथ ऑफ अप्रैल एंड मे. सो दिस इज 2 acres ऑफ लैंड दैट द लोकल कम्युनिटी हैज डोनेटेड टू समावेशी पाठशाला. And what we plan is to build a new inclusive school there.
Right. So that was the story of how the land was gifted to Samaveshi Pathshala. And right now the situation is like we need some help to build the school on the land and also to carry out the necessary paperwork. Naturally, those things will a little bit cost us money, and for that, we are doing this campaign. So first, let's talk a little bit about the kind of construction that you are planning.
Okay, so our plan is for now to build 5 classrooms. So the entire structure will be disabled friendly, where we have ramps so that all people with disability can have access to all the rooms as well as the toilets that we are planning. So there will be 5 classrooms. We have a library we are planning that will also have a resource center. So it's, the resource center is for, again, children with disabilities who might have therapy needs or other needs. So we will have this library cum resource center where there will also be assistive devices for children. We also planning to have organic farming as one of the core curriculum that we are going to design for the school. So farming will be one of the main subjects, and we want our children to be actively involved with farming throughout their education. We also planning to have a training cum skilling hall, so where we will provide some kind of inclusive skilling practices that we are planning to start in the community. So where we are planning, like, for example, we have an inclusive digital training program that is going on. So that will be something that we would like to expand and also penetrate into other areas like solo training. So that is the plan. And then in the middle, we'll have a school assembly or the playground that will again be accessible for everybody. And we'll have like different kinds of sports and activities that will be there. So yeah, that's the plan so far.
Anything to add? Yeah, Ashok, if you
want to add. As Nivedita said, the whole idea is to build a school following principles of universal design. As in, whatever we do in the school will be something that is accessible for all children, whether, you know, children with and without disabilities. So as of now, this school construction is looking 5 years ahead. So 5 inclusive classrooms, all in one stretch. And then it's a C-shaped structure that we are looking at. And on the 2 wings, we will have what is Nivedita just explained, a library cum resource center, which will be a kind of a hall or of the size of 2 classrooms. So a space where, you know, children can come from the community and do a whole lot of workshops that we were already doing also. So a resource center wherein there will be some more of the latest assistive learning resources that we see for children with special needs. And on the right is what we are now hoping, because of the job losses and other you know, problems that COVID has led to, we are hoping to have a dedicated hall for all our training and skilling programs. So this again will be a big size hall wherein our regular inclusive Anganwadi training that we provide. And just as Nivedita said, that we are now looking at doing something of a bigger scale of digital or solar training. So we are still planning that. So looking at all our plans over the next 4 to 5 years, in terms of our school requirements, of also, you know, upgrading our existing library, or plans that we have regarding building capacity of the local youth or the community in terms of, you know, their own skill and livelihood, you know, skill development. So we are hoping to have, you know, enough rooms for all of these plans. And the green, you know, patches or blocks that you see on either sides is going back to what our initial plan was. Samaveshi Pathshala initially was conceptualized as an agri-centric school. And it might, you know, we couldn't do that over the last 1.5-2 years that we are here now. But now that we have 2 acres of land, what we are hoping is, you know, an inclusive school where children learn both in the classroom and on the farm. So these organic farms will be maintained by children. They will be the ones who will learn farming there, group work, and a whole lot of other life skills, you know, that they will learn on the farm. And it's a very basic construction plan that we have. But once it is ready, I think we will get to see as to what exactly an inclusive school looks like just from the physical appearance of it. You know, a school where any child, let's say on a wheelchair or any other kind of disability will be able to access any corner of the school very easily. So yeah, that's the school construction plan, Saurabh.
Yes. So I will resume. Okay. So that's the school construction plan. Now we have the idea on paper about the school. Now coming to the point where we came up with the idea of bringing in the name for the campaign, that is the Gift a Brick campaign, which is in a way very unique way of approaching others for help. So how can you explain that, why we have named it as a Gift a Brick campaign?
So the whole idea was, given that a whole lot of fundraising is already happening for a lot of social causes right from March onwards, How is it that we simplify and involve as many people in our crowdfunding campaign or in the campaign to build this new inclusive school? We as a new nonprofit, we do not have any institutional funding, to be honest. We are surviving entirely on support from friends and family over the last 1.5 years or the 2 years that we are here in Karjat. So we knew we had to come up with an idea or a solution that as many people can be part of it in the process of building this school. So we thought, okay, our requirement is overall 5 classrooms and again 2 library and the training hall that we have, that will be of roughly the size of 2 rooms. And again, adding the 2 sets of disabled friendly toilets that we have, in a way we need as of now material worth constructing 10 inclusive classrooms. So in total 10 classrooms. So we broke down our requirement of 20 lakh in such a way that, let's say, if we say we need to build 10 classrooms and each brick costs 200 rupees, then the whole calculation comes down to a requirement of just 10,000 bricks. So in total, we knew that we need these many bricks, 10,000 bricks, and each brick costs 200 rupees. So any person, lay person would be able to be part of this school construction project. And that's the reason we called it Gift a Brick campaign, wherein our requirement is in total 10,000 bricks. And anybody who wants to be part of this campaign can support us with a minimum of 1 brick, which costs 200 rupees.
Right. So basically, it is easier mathematics, better understanding, and a unique way to approach people for help. That's the thing. Okay. So we will move on. We will move on with the idea of now, when we know that how we came up with the land, we know about the construction, we know about the plan of the construction, and we know about the Gift a Brick campaign. Let's talk about when people come to know about this campaign, what exactly they can do, how they can approach Samabeshi Pathshala, how they can gift a brick. So what are the call to actions?
So as the name says, it's a campaign that is called Gift a Brick. So our requirement in total is, hold on just a moment. So we need approx 10,000 bricks. And the call to action is, anybody who believes in the idea and the need for inclusive education can be part of this campaign by just donating 1 brick worth 200 rupees. So the idea is, if we, 10 classrooms is what we need to build, and 10,000 bricks. So that roughly brings down the number to, how do I say, how many? I think 1,000 bricks per classroom. Can you hear me, Saurabh?
Yes. So approximately 1,000 bricks per classroom.
So right. We thought, how is it that we design a campaign in such a way that we give our donors or the audience a sense that they are actually building a school?
Yes.
So let's say as and when we raise enough funds to buy 1,000 bricks, what that means is we have, technically constructed one classroom. So 2,000 bricks, meaning two classrooms. So, and 10,000 bricks, meaning we have enough funds to build the entire school. So our idea was, to do this campaign over a period of 4 months, beginning September. We are hoping that we will take this campaign onward till the end of December and raise, in terms of money, 20 lakhs. But if we convert that into bricks, we need 10,000 bricks. So anybody who believes in the idea of Samaveshi Pathshala, who finds our work meaningful, or who believes that this is an idea whose time has come. Inclusive education is the need of the hour. And why we say this is, schools are a microcosm of society. To a large extent, what we see in our society, a small example of that exists in our schools, the kind of differences, discrimination or practices, what we see in our society can be seen in our schools. So if we really want to build a better inclusive society where everybody stands up for each other, they support each other, they respect each other, they have dignity in what they do, then I think we are looking at building an inclusive society. And as I said sometime back, that the journey to build such an inclusive society starts from an inclusive classroom. What we teach our children in their formative years, values such as empathy and compassion, if we are able to instill that in the young minds, then as they grow, they will grow with these values. And that's how together we can build an inclusive society. So here is a project to all our audience, that if you truly believe in inclusive education, then here is a chance to be part of such a school project where you can support by donating a brick worth just 200 rupees. And over the course of 4 months, we are hoping that we will raise enough funds, as in we will be able to get around 10,000 bricks. And the plan is early January onwards, we will start putting these virtual bricks into real bricks. We will begin with the school construction plan from early January onwards.
Okay, great. So basically it is the idea where we are putting in the cost into a simpler idea of bricks, where one brick will cost you 200. That is not the literally mean or the literally price of the bricks, but an idea which when gets together, we can build up the school. And we have divided the building into classrooms so that it becomes more easier for everyone to understand that when we get 1,000 bricks, that means we have successfully contributed one classroom. And if we donate 2,000 bricks, that means we have contributed for two classrooms. In that way, we need 10,000 bricks to do the entire construction of the school. Great. So, yes, you want to say something?
Yeah, exactly. So that's how we thought we could simplify crowdfunding and also get as many people on board. For a nonprofit and as a new project, there are two things. One is the target that we have to raise 20 lakh. But knowing the circumstances wherein people, several of them, millions of them now are out of jobs, or they are, getting a pay cut and a whole lot of other you know, problems that we are facing right now, how is it that we involve as many people by making, by simplifying, you know, our crowdfunding in such a way that more and more people can be part of it? So as you put it rightly, that when we get 1,000 bricks, we will have enough funds or enough resources to build one classroom. So that will be a milestone. And that way we're looking at, 10,000 bricks over the course of the next 4 months. And we are hoping as many people who believe in the idea of inclusive education to please support us and be part of this Gift a Brick campaign.
Great. Now, coming to the most vital part of our discussion is, what are the ways that they can connect and gift a brick?
So there are multiple channels. The first one is, we have started a crowdfunding on a platform called Keto. And this we started on the 1st of September, exactly as per our plan of doing crowdfunding over 4 months. And when you click on the donate button there, as in on the page, you can read our story and what exactly is the idea of Gift a Brick campaign. And when you click on donate, it gives you the option as to how many bricks exactly you want to donate. So it's made things very easier. So, you know, our donors or people who believe or who want to support our school construction project can go on to Keto and directly donate the number of bricks that they want to. The other way is, we already have made posters that has a QR code. And given the faster, e-payment methods that we have these days, one can just scan the code and donate as many bricks multiplied by 200. They can donate bricks, gift bricks to our school campaign. The third method is on our own website, which is samaveshi.org. One can log on to our website, and on the donate page, you have the option of donating as many bricks for our school construction project. So three ways: one is Keto, second is the QR code, and the third is our own official website.
Great.
And all of and these are also there on our social media pages. So
yes. So all the links are there on the Samaveshi Parshala social media page, that is on Facebook as well as on Instagram. And also on Project Nomad's page, you will find all these same posters. And also for more convenience, we will provide all the important links in the description of this video as well. So any post, any poster, anything regarding the Gift My Brick campaign will have all the important links with them. So please do donate a brick, and make sure also that there is another important part that we need to follow, is that yes, we need to donate, and also we need to resonate about the campaign that is happening to others, and ask others to, if possible, you also donate a brick. So on that note, I would like to say thank you to both Nivedita and Ashok for this session. I hope through this session, we have concluded all the important points that we need to know about this campaign, that is Gift a Brick campaign. And we promise to all of you, all our listeners, and all those who will listen to this or watch this video later, that we will keep you posted. We will keep you updated regarding all the proceedings of this campaign on both Samaveshi Parshala's page, website, and also on Project Nomad's social media pages. So you will find all details. We are planning for some video updates. We are planning for some more live updates, and also through posters and picture stories. We'll try our best to keep you updated regarding the entire campaign that we are going through right now. And as Ashok said, that from January onwards, the real construction of the school will happen. I have already got a few people asking that when can they visit the school. So those who want to visit the school, they are most welcome. But the construction will start from January. So on January onwards, when the, you know, I think the lockdown situation will get better, you can genuinely travel and you can see, you can feel the school building in a physical way, and you can be there, you can be the part of the campaign. So thank you everyone, signing off right now. This is me, Saurabh, and thank you so much, Ashok and Nivedita, for joining today.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Saurabh.
Okay. So bye-bye, everyone, and see you next time. All the important links will be in the description of this video. Thank you once again, everyone, for joining and taking out time and listening to this audio, this video. And please do share the campaign in whatsoever manner is possible, because this is extremely important. When we look back into the society, we find out, we often see that, you know, there are gaps, there are problems. And as Ashok said, that the road to an inclusive society is from an inclusive classroom, is from inclusive school. So if you think that this school has a potential and inclusive society is as important as our life itself, then please do join in. Please support the campaign called Gift a Break campaign. Thank you so much. This is Saurabh signing out from this live session of Project Nomad. Thank you. See you soon.